Hey, do you enjoy this podcast? Me too. And I bet you'd like this show to keep going. Same. Guess what? You can help that happen while also getting great rewards. Just go to buymeacoffee.com/memoriam. That's M-E-M-O-R-I-A-M, memoriam. And you can donate money to help us keep these shows on the air. You can give us a one-time donation as small as $3, or you can become a Memoriam member and earn great rewards. What rewards, you ask? Well, besides the fact that you'd be helping us, which is a great reward in and of itself, you'd also have access to our full back catalog of all of our podcasts. You'd get preferential seating at any live events that you are attending. That's great. You'd be guaranteed to meet the cast at live events. Plus, you'll get members-only emails that contain lots of behind-the-scenes information about all things Memoriam, including stuff about this show you're listening to right now. So how about you go to buymeacoffee.com/memoriam and help a podcast out. Hey everyone, welcome to the Memoriam Incubator. This is Nick Mataragas, the Executive Director of Memoriam Development, and this week we're giving you something a little bit new. One thing we promised to give you, the listener, as part of the incubator was some behind-the-scenes footage. And so this week we're starting our series of interviews with members of Memoriam. These are all about just getting to know those people. So what happened was I actually interviewed different members of the group, and it was more about their life and who they are, and less about what shows they do. So it gives you guys a chance to kind of learn about the people a little bit more. Now, the first few of these interviews that we did were recorded at C2E2, which is the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, which is kind of like Comic-Con, but in Chicago. And it's a huge event, and people come out, and they're in cosplay, and it's loud and busy, and so you're going to get a lot of background noise going on with these interviews, but you'll still be able to hear them fairly well. And it's interesting because it was the last major event to happen in Chicago before the COVID shutdown, and so it's interesting right now to kind of look back at that and think about how, you know, we were all just cramped into this giant hall with, you know, thousands and thousands of people and not taking a lot of precautions. They had hand sanitizer out and stuff, but nobody knew how devastating this whole thing was going to be then. So it's kind of interesting to look back at that. Our first interview is with Patrick Harrington, who has been our head of digital content for quite a while now. And we got to talk a little bit about his background and where he lines up with faith and stuff, which I thought was really cool. So I hope you enjoy the interview. Thank you.
I mean, we're just going to talk. I'm going to ask stuff about you because it's about letting people get to know you.
Oh, geez.
So it's going to be like, you know, about you, which is weird. So
it's definitely weird. And yeah. I'm your first interview.
Yeah.
All right.
So, hey, everybody. This is Nick Mataragas from Memoriam Development.
Hey, Nick Mataragas from Memoriam Development.
This is the first of a series of interviews with members of Memoriam, so you guys can get to know them a little bit better, because
we
do a lot of shit, and most of it's...
I don't shit.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't shit. I mean, I think everybody poops, according to the book.
No, not me.
Okay. Off to a great start here.
First fact you know about me.
So this is Patrick Harrington. He's currently the head of digital content at Memoriam.
Yes.
Also a frequent member of the cast of Freak of the Week.
Mr. Wiggly. Unfucking Relatable.
Been on Unfucking Relatable a lot. Surreal.
Yeah.
Everything. A bunch of our stage stuff.
Yeah.
Why do you keep putting up with us?
Yeah. The pay is so good. Yeah. I mean, you guys, you know, it's $1,000 a performance, right?
Okay, you're getting $1,000. Where is that coming from? Because I don't have any money.
Amanda's been paying me.
Jesus. Okay. Well, I owe Amanda a bunch of money, I guess. I do want to mention we are doing this live at C2E2, which is Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. That's why you have all this ambient sound. We were tired and got off the floor to sit for a second.
Very tired.
So
and old.
Yeah.
I'm very old.
You're very old. I'm not old. You're old.
You're getting there. You got some grays in your beard.
Yeah, I've got some grays in my hair, too.
Yeah.
I'm not old. So this is all about getting to know us. So, Patrick, you were born on the south side of Chicago, is that right?
Yes, yes. Born and raised on the south side of Chicago. Can you tell?
Sometimes.
By the way I talk?
I actually give Pat a lot of shit about his accent coming out once in a while.
Yes, it comes out all the time.
Especially if you ask him to say milk.
Milk.
Yeah. Exactly.
55th Street.
55th Street, okay. Yeah. So what does that mean to people that don't know?
It's just the way that I say that is...
Oh, I thought that you grew up on 55th Street.
No, actually, I did live on 55th Street at one time.
Okay.
A really dungy, shitty apartment right by Midway Airport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Midway is our secondary airport next to O'Hare. It's the one that nobody goes to unless they're flying Southwest.
I always went there. That was my airport.
Really?
Because it was my neighbor.
So you were right. So you're right on the south side, southwest side, basically.
Yeah.
Because you're like almost Cicero there.
Yeah.
By the airport.
At that time, I was more Pulaski before that. So Okay. Yeah, more like Marquette Park area.
Okay.
Which is
for anybody that doesn't know Chicago, this is
it's
all
a huge park.
Out to lunch. Yeah. There are a lot of huge parks in Chicago.
Kind of like our Central Park.
Except for like every neighborhood in Chicago has a huge park.
Not as big as Marquette Park.
Okay, fine.
If you look on a map.
I would say Grant Park
wow,
is probably...
Wow, somebody's smoking a lot of weed here.
Well, we are in Illinois. And it's legal now, though. You shouldn't be... It's not legal to smoke it at the con.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's supposed to be in your private home.
Okay.
I would say, though, that our Central Park would probably be Grant Park.
Screw that. That's like a north side thing.
It's not even on the north side.
It's north enough.
North enough. Oh, my God. So you grew up on the south side.
Yes.
What's your background like?
What's
Polish,
my,
Irish?
I am Lithuanian.
Lithuanian.
Yeah.
Is that a big population on the south side?
It was at one time.
Okay.
We actually had one of the biggest Lithuanian populations, and then they got smart and moved out.
They got smart. Besides you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they moved to the suburbs, or I think they moved to Philadelphia too for some reason. I don't know.
Saw Rocky and thought, hey, that's where I want to go.
Well, I saw Rocky and that's where I want to go. So, yeah.
You're still here in Chicago.
Yeah. I haven't made it there yet.
No. Okay. So, I get that Greeks kind of did the same thing with moving out into the suburbs.
Yeah.
I'm Greek. This isn't about me. It's supposed to be about Pat, though. Okay. So,
I'm not Greek.
So, 100% Lithuanian or?
No. I am. I am a nice mix of just all around white guy.
White guy.
Yeah, that's pretty much Ancestry DNA said you are white. That's
it. So you've done the Ancestry DNA.
Yes, I have, yeah.
That's
so the government can track me now and
right.
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they track down serial killers now.
Yeah. Well, if ever I do something wrong, I know I'll be caught.
This is the reason I don't do the DNA testing.
I did, but you know you're Greek. What are you like?
I'm half Greek. Yeah.
You're half Greek?
Half
What's
Greek.
The other half?
A combination of Swedish, German, and Liechtenstein. I think it's Liechtensteinian is the way you would say it. I don't know.
Is that actually a nationality, though?
Yeah, they're from the country of Liechtenstein. Yes.
Isn't that like Prussia or something?
Maybe originally.
So you're Prussian?
Maybe. I'm related to some sort of royalty in Liechtenstein. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a really small country.
It's very small. I've never been there.
Yeah. But you've been to Greece.
Why are we talking about me all of a sudden?
I don't know.
About
you started.
No, you did.
I did not.
So what was it like growing up on the south side of Chicago?
It was tough, man.
Yeah.
There's fights every day.
So you got your ass kicked a lot?
No, I kicked ass just as much as I got my ass kicked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can fight a little bit. I don't show that much because I'm Buddhist, so.
Fair enough. Catholic? Yeah. Or originally Catholic?
Catholic Buddhist?
No, originally Catholic.
Okay, so kind of weird. I was born in a Catholic hospital. I was baptized Lutheran, and I was Baptist most of my life.
Okay.
And then went to a Catholic high school where I became Catholic.
Okay.
So I've been around.
Yeah, I was wondering because a lot of the South Side is Catholic, so I kind of... It's a
sure,
big Catholic
sure.
contingency.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you're
Chicago
at.
Chicago itself is actually really Catholic.
It is. My mom was Catholic.
Okay. So what made you decide to become Buddhist then?
Oh, wow. That's a really interesting question. So I have always leaned towards that. In fact, when I was 12 years old, I went up to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Okay.
And I don't know if you knew this, but there's a time of the year where there's a bunch of flying grasshoppers all over the place.
That sounds kind of
like
cool.
Cicadas, you know? And like when they come out every so often. So they were all over the place. And I was at a campground with my family, and I decided it would be fun to stomp and kill this grasshopper.
Wow.
And then I spent probably the next 2 hours crying.
Because you killed a grasshopper.
Because I killed a grasshopper, and what right do I have to take its life? I was a weird kid, okay? So let's just say that.
I get it. I have guilt over killing insects.
So I've been through a lot of hard times in my life. My father passed away when I was 13. My mother passed away when I was 25. So I wanted to find a way to end suffering for myself.
Okay.
And so that's what the Buddhist religion's all about.
Cool.
About knowing that there's suffering and that you don't have to go through it.
That's cool. That's cool. And you, I know this because I know you a little bit, but like you were Wiccan for a while, is that right?
Yeah, I was, well, I don't know if I would say Wiccan, but I was definitely pagan.
Pagan, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Wiccan is like a sect.
It's like being a Lutheran versus
yes.
I get it.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more, they call it Fluffy Bunny.
Fluffy Bunny?
Yeah.
Wait, why is it called Fluffy Bunny?
Because it preaches things like harm no one, which I followed that anyways.
Right.
But I studied like Druidism and stuff, and
okay.
Some other Celtic paths.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've always kind of had a search for, like, a spiritual guidance
yes.
then?
Yes, okay. For answers, for questions
sure.
that nobody can answer.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I get that.
So as a Buddhist, though, I'm pretty much atheist.
Right, because it's not a religion more.
It's a philosophy.
Right? I've heard that before, like, people say that, and it's like, because people that don't know anything about Buddhism say,
well,
call it a religion.
Buddha was not a god.
Right.
He was a man, but just the highest form of enlightenment of a man.
Right. And so do you believe in reincarnation? Is that part of Buddhism?
It is part of Buddhism. Do I believe in it? I'm not sure.
Okay.
I struggle with that part of Buddhism.
I mean, it's hard. I guess it would be hard with the idea of, you know, saying, essentially, I'm atheist, but I believe in reincarnation. Because then, where does that come into it? You know what I mean?
Well, there's no God. That's
right.
All that
but
they're
saying.
Do
you still believe there's some sort of higher power then? Or
I do not believe that there's a higher power
okay.
at all.
But are there Buddhists that do? Is that, like, part of some Buddhist beliefs?
Since it's a philosophy, then there could be
okay.
people that,
sure.
that do. They could have their own religion. Just, you quickly start realizing that that leads to suffering. The
okay.
ultimate goal in that is to lead to suffering. You will never appease your God. You will never make peace with your God.
Okay.
You're always struggling to do it. Nothing against anybody that has any beliefs, but that's the Buddhist idea that in order to have no suffering, you need as very little attachment as possible.
That's fair. That's interesting because I guess like for me, it's a little bit different. Like, I don't think that we ever, and I don't know if I would use the word peace, but I like a similar idea. I don't think we ever find full happiness or full like
no.
contentment.
I don't believe in happiness. It's fleeting. It's temporary thing.
For me, it's like, and maybe it's more like anarchism in a sense, but like that idea of imperfection is what makes things worth it. Because without pain, there is no joy. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, I allow myself to suffer to a degree. And
okay.
then when I'm done with it, I totally detach. Not saying this is healthy,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying this is what I do.
Right.
But, yeah, about the happiness thing, I don't feel that my goal, like, people are always like, you know, what do you want out of life? Well, I want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I would never say that because I've been happy at a funeral before. Not happy that the person died, but happy that you're amongst people that have a common bond with
okay.
you, that you're talking about the good old days and stuff, and there's joy there sometimes. But that's fleeting. And
right.
the moment you find happiness, the higher it's going to be to achieve and sustain that happiness.
That makes sense.
So I believe in being content is the ultimate goal
okay.
in life. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, you don't live in the South Side anymore. You moved out to the suburbs, right?
To Geneva.
To Geneva, Illinois.
Voted one of the top 10 Christmas towns.
Is that a big deal?
Yes, for Genevans, it is.
Is it a big deal for you that it's a top 10 Christmas?
Okay. No. I don't really care.
Fair enough. I was like, that's an interesting thing.
No, they have a big Christmas walk, and you can get hot chocolate.
It's one of the... It's part of that Kane County corridor along the Fox River.
Well, Geneva's really interesting because they have a lot of Swedish stuff.
Yeah.
But they actually have no Swedish stuff, just berries. Some kind of Swedish berry.
Lingonberries.
Lingonberries, yeah. That's it. That's the only thing that they have.
My grandma's Swedish, so I know. Yeah.
That's the only thing that they have.
Well, they've got they've got a Swedish restaurant downtown, and they got like a store next door to the restaurant that has
Never
Swedish
been
stuff.
There.
Yeah. I've been there once.
Yeah. I'm not allowed there. I'm not Swedish, so. Actually, I might be some.
You probably are a little bit at some point.
I could go over my ancestry DNA if you want to.
You're pale enough to be Swedish.
I am. I am pretty pale. Except for in the summer, I really get like a, like, not an olive complexion, but like more pinkish.
Yeah, you kind of turn into like Kirby.
Yeah, I tan super easy, so.
Okay.
I don't burn.
But you turn pink, so.
Yeah.
I mean.
I burn once, and then then it's a tan.
I see.
Yeah. Is this what this interview is supposed to be about?
Yeah, it's about learning about you.
Learning about my tanning abilities.
Right. So, you have a podcast of your own.
Yeah, I have two.
Two? No, that's right. Sorry. I forgot you picked up another one.
Yes.
Because, you know, not enough work.
Yeah. Well, because the pay's so good, too. So.
Right. All that podcast money.
Yeah.
So, the big one, though, is Ghostly.
Ghostly, yes.
Which you do with Rebecca Rivers.
Yes, Rebecca Rivers.
I'll be interviewing at some point.
Yes.
No.
Oh, tell her I said hi.
Yeah, I mean, where does she live?
She lives in Geneva.
Oh.
Voted one of the top 10 Christmas towns.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's always something I always give you a hard time about because I'm like, because you and Rebecca are a couple.
Wait, what? What has she been telling you?
Well, she tells me a lot, no.
Yeah, we are a couple, yes.
But you keep that, you don't really bring that up, and you try not to show that on Ghostly.
I don't think that we go too far out of our way not to.
No, you're not actively, you don't ever mention it, but you also don't kind of interact in a way that is like flirty ever.
We fight. That's what a real couple does.
That's true.
I mean, we debate.
That's
true. It, you know,
it's just kind of funny because like if listening to Ghostly, it's like okay, these two have their sides and that's cool, and then like knowing you two in person, I'm like
I can tell you this, one of us is acting a little bit more than the other one. I'm just saying.
Okay, interesting.
And it's not me.
Interesting.
I'm just kidding, actually.
Sure.
She is a believer. I am not.
No, it's interesting because we talked about your show.
Yeah.
We talk about your show a lot and how it's strange how, like, fervent the believers are and how, like, you get attacked sometimes for your skepticism.
Yes.
Like you're being mean and you're, like, always, like, very apologetic about your skepticism.
Yeah, I want to believe. Man, that would be great if you could show me, you know, that there is that there's proof of the afterlife.
Right.
I would love that.
Whereas I'm just like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a bit of an asshole when it comes to your skepticism.
I
try to be really nice about it.
I'm just blunt about it, I guess. I don't know. I feel like asshole's the wrong term.
Well, I don't think that I stumbled on some big secret, you know, to be a skeptic.
Right.
I just happen to question everything, and I think we're all the same. And these people might not have the same questions that I do that led them down that path. So they're all the same, and I'm happy to talk about it.
That's fair. And I think for me, coming in, from my angle of being a skeptic, and you talk about being atheist, whereas I'm agnostic. I don't believe we can know.
No, and I would say everybody is agnostic to some degree.
Right.
I mean, everybody.
No, and I think...
The Rock says everybody.
The Rock says everybody.
But he also said that everybody loves pancakes. Do you like pancakes?
I do like pancakes.
So do I.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you like pancakes. But my point is that that's where my skepticism comes into it, is that I, like, that whole, like, the big belief is like, we don't know. We can't know.
No.
But like a lot, most of the ghost stories that I hear and stuff like that, there is a logical explanation for all of it.
Yeah.
And it's, you have to, it's, we're both in theater. And so like, there's that idea of the suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
Like every, it seems like, and it may seem mean, but it seems like people that are like the hardcore believers in ghosts and stuff like that, they've suspended their disbelief. They're in, yeah. Like, they're living in a play.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but it's obviously this, you know, logic dictates that it's this.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, I had a paranormal experience last week.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly a week ago from today. So, as I told you, like, I killed that bug at the age of 12 and I started crying. Well, before that, I was a little asshole. I mean, I like to get into trouble. I found myself often in trouble. And at one point, my garage collapsed because there was too much snow on it.
Okay.
And so it collapsed. In Chicago, we get this snow stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes it's heavy.
It is. So we got a new garage, and there was this, like aluminum-ish kind of, like, covering over the walls.
Okay.
So I thought it would be really cool to write something up on there. But I think I was more like eight years old, eight, nine. Okay. I couldn't really spell very well, and I still can't. So... I wanted to put something really intimidating up there, like, rawr. So I wrote in like a, not like with a pen or anything, like I scratched it into the surface. I kill.
Right.
Yeah, because,
kind of like,
you know,
Red Rum.
Yeah, so I put I kill on there, and, you know, I haven't thought of it in a while. It's been... you know, years and years and years since I even had the had that come across my mind. But then I was in the Geneva parking garage last Friday, and I parked next to something. Now, you can't see it, but there was an eye in front of this.
Okay. Interesting.
So, who would put I kill up on the wall?
Are you, like, maybe you had, like, a mini stroke and did it yourself?
No, but it looks exactly like how I did it as a kid, except slightly more perfect, because mine was a little bit
more. Sure, you were a kid.
More, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me was, like, kind of shocking and makes me have to think about things a little bit.
Okay.
That's just not the most common thing to write on a wall.
That's fair. I would agree that it's not the most common. I wouldn't say it's, like... like, it's not like it was the, like, it's two words.
Yeah.
So it's definitely plausible, though, that it, you know, it's not, like, it out is. Of the realm of possibility. It is. But, like, if it had been something like, you know, call me Ishmael or something, like a full sentence or something that was
wait,
verbatim.
That's what else I wrote.
I know.
Yeah.
No. Because you're Herman Melville.
I am. Yeah. But think about it, though. That's just, it's nuts. I mean.
It is interesting. And I don't think that, I think. Coincidences like that happen, and we immediately, as an instinct, we look for that. Like, there's a reason.
It has to be this.
Yeah, there has to be a reason for it, which is interesting.
It is, but you know, those things happen occasionally and kind of rock my skeptic heart a little bit, and
right, make you double check to make sure.
Yeah, but I'm still a skeptic. It's still coincidence, but what a weird coincidence!
It's a weird one. Yeah,
I kill.
Yeah. I kill.
My parents must have loved me. Scratched into the new garage and
right.
Yeah.
Did they weren't able to fix that at all, or was it just
no,
always there?
It was there forever.
Wow.
Like when I sold the house, actually what was interesting when I went to go sell my house that I grew up in, at that time I was an armed security guard a couple years prior to that, so I had a gun.
Oh jeez.
And I was actually cleaning it. And then a bunch of people came to view the house. Well, I forgot to put the gun away. So when they went into one of the rooms, they look and there's a handgun right there.
And in the garage, it says, I kill.
Yeah, exactly. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. You're not an armed security guard anymore.
No, I'm not. And I do not own any firearms anymore.
You actually work for...
the American Library Association.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
What's that like?
It's very interesting. I mean, I love my job. I love the people that I work with. I never thought that I would be connected with libraries in any way, but I am a trainer for their IT department because I'm a techie guy.
Right.
Being the head of digital content, that would probably make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
To be a little techie. And, yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Free books.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great.
I gave you a couple, right?
Yes, you did. Two really interesting books, actually. Yeah.
Did you finish them?
No, not yet. I don't read as much as I used to because streaming.
Oh.
Which is terrible, I know.
It is.
Libraries are important, though.
You know, I would have told you at one time that I don't think that they are. But, here's the thing. Like, I think that when I said that, I think that people thought that I don't support community and stuff. No, I do. Right. I just don't know if we need paper books anymore. I think we're beyond that point, and I think that we're doing a disservice using a building for paper books. Maybe just have a community center there that helps kids out and has computers for people to go on the internet and do everything a library would do, just maybe not have physical books.
I have to disagree with you on that just because I love books.
But that's out of your selfishness that you're saying that.
I know, but I'm not Buddhist, so I can be like that.
I know, but if you think about it, though, I mean, we can't do stuff out of selfishness when it comes to the future.
I would argue, though, embrace it. That the experience of a paper book can be almost spiritual for somebody. That tactileness of the book, the smell, the experience, the falling into it. Like, I read paper books. I also read ebooks. It's not the same, you know. It is a very different feeling. So I it can take you away from where you're at by reading a paper book.
I mean, I enjoy reading paper books, but I also enjoy reading ebooks.
Sure.
Depending upon like I think Apple's got a great program with their books, except they're really expensive.
Yeah.
Where I think that they're slightly better, it's more engaging than an Amazon ebook, I would say.
What I like about the Apple books is they're really good at adjusting for the light.
Yes,
is fantastic.
But I love the swipe motion too. It makes you feel good. Like, you know, it's more real.
It's got a natural swipe to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think technology is coming along where at some point we might get to my vision where there doesn't need to be that, but those places are important still.
Yeah.
So take all the great things about a library and maybe don't call it a library. But at least wait, you know, a good 20, 30 years.
What would we call it, library?
No, we call it community center.
But community centers are already a thing.
Call it Pat's House.
Pat's House. Is that like the Ronald McDonald House?
Yep, exactly.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is very weird.
Cool. So we met through improv.
Oh, yeah. That's how we met?
I mean, I think so, isn't that? I don't think I met you before then.
Well, you don't know. I mean,
that's creepy, dude.
Have you ever seen You?
Have you ever seen me?
No, You, the show.
No, I haven't. I need to.
Oh, my God.
It's one of the ones that like everybody's like obsessed with.
It is so good.
I'm terrible. I get in the winter, I don't watch new stuff.
What?
I just don't.
Why in the winter? Isn't that the best time?
No, because I don't want to like
think.
I want an escape to something that I'm comfortable with.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. So you watch Cheers reruns.
I'm actually watching The West Wing right now again.
Oh my God, I've never seen The West Wing.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
So we met through improv.
Yes.
We started doing a show together called Rock'em Sock'em first.
We did. That was my show.
That was your show, Rock'em Sock'em Improv.
Yep.
Which was competitive improv.
Yep.
And then that died.
Well, did it die so much or did it become World War Improv?
It was dead for a little while before World War Improv happened.
But it's the same show, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that was the second show we did was World War Improv. All at a local theater.
Yeah.
That we are no longer at.
Nope, no longer. Neither of us are.
No.
Weird.
I won't name the theater because there's no reason to. Mm. But we had our reasons for leaving.
Yeah.
Separate reasons.
Similar reasons.
Similar but separate, yeah.
Well, you know what? I just got to say that theaters today, it shouldn't be about just making money.
No.
It should be about producing good shows that people can be proud of.
Well, and we work, and there's a reason that the field we work in is called the arts.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about that.
Yes.
But also, and for me, a lot of it was about working for an organization that people felt safe in.
Yeah.
And that's like...
So you did not feel safe.
I was okay, but I know other people did not. And that
that's where you
me.
Make a stand, yeah.
I'm... Because that's who I am. I don't...
Yeah.
You can shit on me all you want, but like other people I know... Like that's what.
But I don't
me.
Shit though. So.
You don't shit. That's right. Wow, we just went full circle.
We did, yeah.
Full circle.
Yep, see how that goes?
Yeah. Cool. So, because you know this is a podcast, are there any podcasts that you're listening to right now that you think people should listen to?
I'm a big fan of Hardcore History.
Hardcore History.
Yeah. Have you never heard it?
I think you've mentioned it to
Dan,
me before.
Dan Carlin.
Okay.
The episodes are like 4+ hours.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
You like those epically long shows.
Yeah, well, right now I'm listening, and I'm a little bit, I'm a little behind, but talking about Japan during World War II and right before that and after that.
That's interesting. So, like the war with China right before World War
II,
stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely.
See, I know stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, and that they really wanted in the war so that they could control more of China.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But no, it started off with the story of the last Japanese soldier that surrendered.
Was it Tom Cruise?
No, it was not Tom Cruise. But it was Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, weird turn there.
That is a weird turn.
No, the last Japanese soldier to surrender from World War II, what year do you think that would happen in?
Okay, so because you're making it sound like it's ridiculous,
yeah.
I'm going to say 1978.
Nope.
Later?
Yeah.
2003.
Later.
2008.
Later.
2012.
2014.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Was he like just hiding somewhere?
He was hiding in like an island, and he was shooting up people all over the place.
Oh my goodness!
And in order to get him to surrender, so they gave him newspapers, you know, so he can see that we've moved on. And he didn't believe it. He thought it was propaganda.
Sure.
They had his family actually go talk to him, and he didn't believe them.
Oh my goodness!
He demanded his commanding officer release him from his duty. So his commanding officer was a teacher or something. Mm-hmm. They had to pull him, fly him out there.
You're lucky he was still alive.
Yeah,
at that
right.
Point.
Right. Yeah.
So that's cool. So that's what was a Hardcore History.
Hardcore History. Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Yeah,
I also listened to Freak of the Week and Mr. Wiggly. And
I don't know why.
I'm fucking relatable.
Nobody listens to those.
Yeah, the host of Freak of the Week's a little weird.
Yeah, he is. He's a strange guy.
Yeah, he is.
No, I never get to meet him, but, you know.
But today, maybe, because you have his mask. Right?
I have his mask, yeah, for the con.
Yeah.
So I might get to meet him, which would be cool. Well, Pat, thanks for, you know, opening up and letting people know a little bit about you.
Anytime.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening, guys.
Memoriam Development.
Oh, hey there, Count Panic. I got a question for you.
What's that, Bob?
What do you know about Mothman, the Loch Ness Monster, ghosts, demons, and things that go bump in the night?
Not much, Bob.
Well, lucky for you, we host a podcast called Bob After Dark, where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural.
Wow, where can I find this podcast?
Wherever you find your great podcasts at.